This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Jackie Leiden.
Thanks for calling the Lost and Found Sound Line here at NPR. This is Jay Allison. At this moment, we are gathering audio that relates, in some way, to the events of September 11th, before, during, and after.
Over the last year, a collaboration of radio producers and listeners came together to chronicle the life and history of the World Trade Center. A phone line was set up. From these calls and interviews done by dozens of people, the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, with Ben Shapiro, have produced this national montage, a sonic memorial.
Message 15 was received at 12:40 p.m. December 2nd.
Good day. My name is Captain Anderson. When I first started work in New York Harbor, they had just completed the World Trade Center. They were filling in the landfill for the World Financial Center. I know New York City intimately, but mostly from the water. I've carried passengers around the tip of Manhattan hundreds upon hundreds of times. Gliding through the water on a sailing vessel, the entire crew and passengers lay on the deck as we sail around and we watch the spectacular buildings begin to twinkle with light. And you can hear the planks creak and the ropes clap on the deck. There's nothing like it anywhere on the earth. I never became bored of it.
Lower Manhattan and the neighborhood around the World Trade Center is the place where New York City keeps on reinventing itself. But as New York City jumps forward into the future, it never entirely lets go of the past. I'm Robert Snyder. I'm a professor at Rutgers University in Newark. You've got twisty, squirrely network of streets that goes back to Dutch New York. They follow old Dutch farmsteads and canals. And you've got an 18th century church like St. Paul's, the African-American burial ground, and 20th century skyscrapers right next to each other. So the past and the present are entangled in the streets and in the neighborhoods of the city. And nowhere is that more powerful than the neighborhood around the World Trade Center.
Message 33 was received at 10:50 a.m. Thursday.
My name is Jake Nichols. As a kid, I grew up in a tenement on 49th Street, Hell's Kitchen in New York. And when the World Trade Center buildings were going up, my dad told me, when those are finished and the race between the two buildings is over, we're going to go up on the top. My dad said these buildings will last for 1,000 years.
Authorities of New York and New Jersey welcomes you to the observation deck at the World Trade Center. We're traveling in a Lotus elevator at a speed of 20 miles per hour.
My name is Lou Johnstante. In the early 1980s, I was doing a lot of sound recording in New York City. In October of 1982, I went to the World Trade Center to record. I went up to the observation deck with an elevator full of tourists, and I recorded the taped message we heard as we went up. And then up on the top, I interviewed people from all over the world. The sounds of the different languages seemed important to the sound of the place.
Modern.
It's for me now, you know, I can't believe my eyes.
Yes, I come to see from Egypt what the civilization of American people.
What do you think?
It's very, very important.
It's for me, it's something incredible, unbelievable. When we go back to Egypt, going to say for my friends, I see something like pyramids, you know. Did you hear about pyramids in Egypt?
And then I left with another elevator full of tourists. And at the time, I remember thinking, I wish that baby wasn't crying. It's spoiling the recording. But now, today, listening to it, I think it sounds just right.
Message 36 was received November 30th.
My name is Ernie Scott. I'm a piano player, and I performed at the Windows on the World from 1996 to spring of 1998. During that time, CNN came and filmed while I was playing, and it was a pan around the bar and the windows. It was just a gorgeous shot. I lost a lot of friends at the center, and I just wish that people can remember those precious moments that they used to come up through the windows.
Received October 22nd.
Hi, my name is Robert Olin. I work for Thatcher Prophet & Wood, which was formerly housed on floors 38 through 40 of Two World Trade Center. About 2 weeks or so before the attack, I happened to videotape in our office, touring a little bit of the space.
It's the lovely office that I spend my days and nights in. These are my neighbors. This is where we also throw footballs down the hall.
My name is Steven Vitello. I'm a sound artist from New York City. I was an artist in residence at the World Trade Center in the summer and fall of 1999. I ended up in an office on the 91st floor that had been an executive of a Japanese investment bank. It was right during the time of the Asian fiscal crisis. In this business, it seemed like it just left in the middle of the night. Things were just ripped out of the walls. There was phone cables everywhere. There was some fuzzy slippers and someone's mug with Japanese writing on it. There's a recording that I did the day after Hurricane Floyd, which was one of the two strongest hurricanes to hit New York in the 90s. You really could feel the building swaying and the glass and steel creaking and cracking. What I thought I would be able to do is put microphones outside the window, and was surprised to find out as soon as I got there that I couldn't open the windows. The only thing that worked were these little $20 contact microphones. It looks like a dime on the window, running to the mixing board, running to headphones. So I would sit in this chair at night feeling like I was listening through a stethoscope to the heart and soul of the building.
Robinson. I am a conceptual artist, and I recently completed a piece called Tower Hollers. It's a sound installation that was first realized at the World Trade Center residency program called Worldviews, sponsored by the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council. Tower Hollers is about the World Trade Center. It's 455 small boxes with speakers in it, which is the number of tenants in the World Trade Center at the time of my residency, in which I played sort of a mix of work songs, hollers and reels and labor songs that came from the South and remixed it with elevator music. I was inspired by a trip that I took on the elevators there in Tower One, going to my studios, hearing the elevator music. It was sort of, here comes the sun, this mellow tune. And standing there in the back of the elevator with a maintenance worker, a woman who was in her uniform and carrying sort of a cleaning cart, with all the business executives in their suits, I felt like an affinity for her. And I wanted to sort of create this music to soothe the weary worker, the secretary, or even the CEO, sort of a celebration of work and labor in the towers and what it meant.
This is Ed Say with Genuity. Today is Tuesday, September 11th. You can reach me today at the World Trade Center office or page me at 877.
News all the time. This is 1010 Winds. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Good morning. 64 degrees at 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday, September 11th. I'm Lee Harris. Here's what's happening. It's primary day, and the polls are open in New York City.
It's going to be a beautiful day today. Sunshine throughout. Really a splendid September day. The afternoon temperature about 8.
Hello, my name is Stephen Manning. I headed downtown at 8 o'clock, and I was on my way to buy the new Bob Dylan record, which had just been released that day, and I wanted to pick it up at J&R Music World, a few blocks down from the World Trade Center. I emerged from the Chambers Street subway when I heard a deafening roar overhead, and wheeled around, looked up, and saw the first jetliner plow into the Trade Center. I had my tape recorder with me. I turned it on. I raced towards the Twin Towers. We heard this unbelievable sound, and looked up and saw that Tower One was cracking open.
The whole building is fell down. The entire World Trade Center is collapsing.
We had an airplane crash directly into the Pentagon.
Attention, 68 engine, 35 engine, 50 engine, 64 engine, 94 engine, 83 engine. Those units going to the fifth floor up on 203 Street. We're going to
advise the West. Message 5 received
September 11th at 8:59 a.m.
Hey, Beverly, this is Sean. In case you get this message, there's been an explosion in World Trade 1. That's the other building. It looks like a plane struck it on fire at about the 90th floor, and it's horrible. Bye.
Received September 11th at 9:02 a.m.
Yeah, honey, this is Sean again. Looks like we'll be in this tower for a while. It's secure here. But I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Jules, this is Ryan. Listen, on an airplane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, and it's not looking good, I just want you to know I absolutely love you. I want you to do good. So happy to find. Same to my parents and everybody. And I just totally love you, and I will see you later. Bye, babe. Bye, Paul.
I was sitting at my desk on the 77th floor when the plane hit, and my immediate thought was for my son. He was on the 105th floor. And my thought was that he would survive, that the fireman whom I heard on the stairs would be able to rescue him. I'm Herb Weed. I'm the executive vice president of the World Trade Centers Association. I kept thinking, he's 28 floors above me. I got out of 10 to 10. The building then collapsed to 1028. He's in the same building working for Cantor. Everybody in Cantor died, 658 people. Nobody above the 92nd floor lived in the World Trade Center, in the North Tower. What I hear all the time is my son. We decided, my wife and I, that we were going to set up a foundation because he had a problem as a child. He suffered from panic attacks. So we want to help children. My church has asked me if it's all right to put the World Trade Center on the plaque for my son. And I said, no. I love those buildings. I work there. It just becomes very hard for me personally. And yet, I'm part of an association that promotes the concept of World Trade Centers. That's what I do. And I believe in that concept. I'm from Lebanese background. I'm from the Middle East. My family's from the Middle East. I had so much hatred for these people. And I found it was consuming me. It really was not good for me to have so much hatred. If you can make some good out of an evil, help somebody else, maybe you'll have a little peace.
Message 22 was received December 3rd.
Hello, my name is Colin Travers. A friend of mine, Eric Miner, and myself created in the 2 weeks following the 11th a World Trade Center hip-hop dedication piece. Basically, it's a memorial, a dedication, a rest in peace to the World Trade Center and the people involved.
My full name is Leslie E. Robertson. I'm a structural engineer, and I was responsible for the design of the World Trade Center. I do wake up with the thoughts in my head. No matter how good a job we do at mending fences and trying to bring peace to the world, we're going to have to live with a segment of the world that's extremely angry with the United States and with other parts of the world for a very long time. The people who did this had lived in our midst. They'd seen our lawns and our kids and knew a lot about us and still carried a hatred that's deep enough so that they would give their lives. But we cannot possibly close the doors on all the targets. We cannot make the planes or the buildings suitable to resist these events. I'm not a believer in hardening buildings, and I think it's the wrong way to think about life.
Message 13 was received November 29th.
In my many years of being in the United States, I often went to Twin Towers to visit friends of mine which worked there. And at nighttime, when everybody was gone, you could hear the Mexican radios or the tapes listening as they worked. This is the guys that clean the place, guys that do the cooking, the guys that picked up the garbage. Maybe in one of your little remembrance there, you could put in a little bit of that music. Tex-Mex, mostly Norteños from Texas. And they're the Mexicans that came here and picked up your dirty work. They die with you guys. Help them out. Remember them. Thank you.
Message 29 was received at 7:30 a.m. Friday.
Hello, my name is Eric Mamano. I'm calling on behalf of my friend who was killed in the World Trade Center. He was a firefighter. His name is Christopher Pickford. His younger brother and I collaborated to make a compilation tribute CD in Chris's memory, which contains much of Chris's music that he created. And also contains some answering machine messages from him.
Spam, I got good news. I'm starting the investigation process for firefighter candidate. So I might be a fireman sometime in the near future. Spam, tonight we're going to the studio. I just got this brilliant idea. Me, you, and Bernie, we're going to put in $33 each. We're going to get 2 hours in the studio. We'll go in, we'll lay down new vocals for you. And we'll finish it. That's what I think we should do. Give me a call. I just called your job. I told my
Hello, my name is Lydia Robertson. My mother died on September 11th on the 97th floor of Tower 1. She was the senior vice president of Marsh McLennan for Technology. And she left quite a legacy. She had upwards of 40 foster children in her lifetime. She worked her way up from single mom, unemployed, no education, to getting herself a college degree and putting a great many of us through school.
I'm Hillary North, and I'm an Aon employee. Okay, the poem is called How My Life Has Changed. I can no longer flirt with Lou. I can no longer dance with Myra. I can no longer eat brownies with Suzanne Y. I can no longer meet the deadline with Mark. I can no longer talk to George about his daughter. I can no longer make a good impression on Chris. I can no longer smile at Paul. I can no longer hold the door open for Tony. I can no longer confide in Lisa. I can no longer complain about Gary. I can no longer get to know Yolanda. I can no longer call the client with Nick. I can no longer contribute to the book drive organized by Karen. I can no longer give career advice to Suzanne P. I can no longer laugh with Donna G. I can no longer watch Mary Ellen cut through the bullshit. I can no longer drink beer with Paul. I can no longer gossip with Anna. I can no longer run into Dave P. at the vending machine. I can no longer call Steve about my computer. I can no longer compliment Lorenzo. I can no longer hear Herman's voice. I can no longer see the incredible view from the 103rd floor. I can no longer take my life for granted.
There's an assumption that no matter whatever happens to the 16 acres of the World Trade Center, there will be a memorial or a monument to the 3,000 people who lost their lives there. I'm Kenneth T. Jackson, the director of the New York Historical Society. 100 and more years ago, that was never an assumption that somehow you'd build a monument or memorial to people. Even battlefields, Waterloo, Gettysburg, were not immediately transformed into places of veneration and respect. 100 years ago, when they didn't think in terms of these group memorials, but they did sanctify death in yet another way, in that cemeteries and visiting cemeteries were really an important event. And whole families went, and they felt that they were communing with not only the dead person, but with God, and then also with nature. But now we're drawn toward these kind of public memorials, whether it's the Vietnam Memorial in Washington or, you know, something else. So one of the things from both the World Trade Center and the neighborhood before the World Trade Center reminds us to do is look around us now. You know, remember what you see. I think it reminds us that we need to treasure the people we know, we need to treasure the neighborhoods we live in. So everything that's important, look at it, remember it, try to follow the way, because nothing is forever.
In the many years that my office was there, on the 77th floor of North Tower, one of my great joys was to walk around. Remember, 250,000 people pass through the Trade Center every day. I'm Guy Tizzoli, I'm president of the World Trade Centers Association. Initially, I was responsible for planning, designing, and operating and constructing the World Trade Center in New York. The Trade Center was a marketplace, okay? There have been marketplaces for 2,000 years. Within the World Trade Center in New York, each day, 250,000 people, and many of them were tourists and visitors from other parts of the country, from other parts of the world, and you'd watch them walking through the lobbies, sitting on the plaza in the sun, listening to some of the concerts that we had. It was a city within a city.
You have 64 new messages. Message one was
Odetta, recorded live at the World Trade Center, and Stephen Scott and the Bode Piano Ensemble at the World Financial Center. The Sonic Memorial was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, with Ben Shapiro, mixed by Jim McKee. The Sonic Memorial is a collaboration between Lost and Found Sound, NPR, WNYC, and independent producers nationwide. For more information, visit npr.org.